Why would I make them so uncomfortable?
It probably has to do with your reputation. They feel your methods, your theories are...
spooky? Do you think I'm spooky?
His face was so blank and expressionless. He didn't even seem human.
I'm not turning my back on anyone!
Have you ever found a metal implant in your body? Have you checked everywhere?
Mulder, you have to understand!
Put it down!
You put it down first!
Scully!
We're like, what? Pretend to be in a conversation?
No,
like at the beginning of it?
No,
we should try that. Should we try doing that at some point?
I don't know. We can.
Okay. We could consider it.
Yeah, that could be something we could think about and discuss and perhaps do on a later date.
Okay. Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
I didn't see you there.
Oh, hi. Welcome. Yes. Welcome. Hi. Didn't see you come in.
Welcome to Fox Mulder is a Maniac.
Fox Mulder's a Maniac.
Ooh.
Woohoo.
The show about Mulder. That's what we, that's our...
It's a chronological rewatching of the X-Files, except we're examining each episode specifically for how out of control batshit Mulder behaves in the episode.
Yeah, and it's, you know, when you rewatch the X-Files through that lens, it is a very different show, it turns out. I'm one of your hosts, David Bell.
I'm another host, Tom Ryman.
And this is a free episode, folks.
Yeah, we're giving this to you guys for free because it's a pandemic, and also because this episode features Ryan Reynolds and his big film Free Guy just got pushed back to December. So,
oh no!
In celebration of his movie being bumped 6 months.
Okay, yeah, that's what
we're
celebrating.
Here's one of his first roles, if not his very first role.
Yeah, he's Is he trying to do a Boston accent?
He's doing like a weird voice, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I looked up when this episode came out in like 96, and I was like, when did Good Will Hunting come out? Like, had he just watched Good Will Hunting or something?
Good Will Hunting is 97,
I believe. Yeah, it's a year after. Maybe he was auditioning.
I don't know. I didn't pay attention to what state this is supposed to take place in.
That's true. Do they ever say...
I assume they do, but like,
I don't know. We should probably mention that this is episode. We're on season 3 now, guys.
Yeah.
Episode 13, fitting number for Syzygy. This is a pretty well known one, not just because Ryan Reynolds is in it.
Right, I remembered this one not for him. Like when I came back and rewatched the series a few years ago. You know, I hadn't seen this episode since it was on TV, but I remembered the episode because it's a memorable one.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it came out in 96, I didn't know who Ryan Reynolds was. So, like, rewatching this again, it's like, oh, shit, because he's, like, the first person you see in the episode.
He's a little wiener in it. He's a little guy.
Yeah. He's like, 19. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, it starts with him trying to grief blast a couple of chicks, and then he gets murdered by them instead.
He gets super murdered, yeah.
This episode has a couple of significant things. It's very 90s. It has both the band Live and Danzig in the soundtrack.
Yeah, when they go to like the pizza parlor and you can hear Danzig, I was like, fuck yeah!
Yeah! I remember him in Songs of the Key of X, the X-Files soundtrack. Mm-hmm. I believe this song was in it. Live was not in that soundtrack.
Live was not on that soundtrack, no.
It's very 90s, all the way to the fear that bleachers can kill you, which I feel like is a very 90s fear. If people don't remember, it's about two teenage girls where a planetary alignment gives them psychic powers.
Yeah.
It was written by Chris Carter.
Okay. And that checks out.
Yeah, it feels very much written by someone like just like not understanding women. Just like, I don't know, their space periods match up, and so they're evil. Yeah, if you've watched The X-Files, if you watched it as a kid like we did, you probably remember this one.
Yeah, the teenage girls are just killing everybody, like every boy that rejects them and every girl they don't like.
Yeah.
Or pretty much, not even every boy that rejects them, just every boy that pisses them off.
Right. And what makes the episode most significant is... that the planetary alignment doesn't just affect them.
It affects everyone.
Which, including Mulder and Scully, and they get into some adventures. Some shit happens. I want to point out, Scully also says in this, we've been working together for what, 2 years to Mulder?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, really? It feels like 10.
Yeah.
They've been into a lot.
Yes, in these a lot 2 years. Shit has happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, good God. Scully's been abducted by aliens in the last. It's like, she's had a hard 2 years.
Yeah, and Mulder's not helping.
No.
Mulder sitting in that sidecar is not helping.
No, not at all. Tom, I have in my hands here.
The tome, the text.
The holy text, the official third season guide to the X-Files.
Woo!
I have some facts in this. One is apparently fans did not understand that Mulder and Scully were affected by the planetary alignment, or at least some fans, a significant amount.
It's not obvious until partway through the episode.
Right. Yeah.
Because at first you're just like, man, they're being real bit. Like Mulder in particular is being a real dickhead in this episode.
I can't wait to talk about how the planetary alignment changes Mulder.
Yep.
Because it is very unique to him. A lot of the insults and stuff were based off of fan comments, particularly Scully's little feet. Was a comment made by Chris Carter during a X-Files convention in Pasadena, California. I guess a lot. Yeah, the idea that Mulder always drives was like a fan thing. So people were delighted that Scully points it out.
Mm-hmm.
This is there's not much in this about this episode, but one interesting thing is the script originally called for, instead of the Keystone Cops.
Mm-hmm.
Those TVs were gonna play A Clockwork Orange. Can you guess why it didn't? And a Keystone Cops played instead.
Because Keystone Cops is in the public domain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because Clockwork Orange is a very expensive thing to get.
Yeah.
And they thought it worked better, but like, of course, they thought it worked better. It's what they could get.
Well, it makes it, I mean,
I agree, though. I do think it worked better.
I do think it works better because it's like the girls are making fun of them.
Yeah, exactly. A Clockwork Orange would feel actually tonally weird.
Yeah, I don't understand why they wanted A Clockwork Orange.
I could see like a scene that's like particularly manic that they add. This just add to the weirdness of the environment. I could see it working, but not as well as Keystone Cops.
Right. Like it would work in the sense of just weirdness for the sake of weirdness, but like the Keystone Cops thing makes more sense narratively.
Absolutely. You want to get into it? You want to start with World's Luckiest Detective?
I want to fucking dive into this.
All right. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah. This is just a, we're gonna go through times in which Mulder pretty much fell into the case.
He frequently just kind of bumblefucks his way into cases, evidence, global conspiracies through no work of his own. Like he's actually quite a terrible investigator.
Yeah, he's a big Sherlock Holmes fan, which is funny.
Yeah.
Because he is not Sherlock Holmes.
No.
I mean, for example, in this one, they just kind of go to an astrologist who tells them everything.
Yes.
Mulder drunkenly goes to the astrologist.
Yes, he does. We're going to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. And we've talked about this in a few episodes. This is one of those episodes where the killer just doesn't give a fuck. I'm reminded of DPO, where the killer's a teenager, and teenagers are bad at crimes.
Yeah, and also, well, it's a similar situation to DPO, where it's like, well, you could see how they could be brazen about it, because how on earth would you prove it?
Right. They didn't count on fucking Mulder.
Right.
Showing up and being like, I know what you are.
Yeah.
They light the casket on fire in front of the FBI. Ryan Reynolds is burnt to a crisp.
He sure is. And they never explain the symbol on his torso.
No, they don't.
It looks exactly like the high school mascot, which is a demonic goat.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They might have just been, I don't know, was he wearing that shirt when they
burned
him?
Maybe, or he may have had that tattoo.
Yeah, maybe.
Because he's like a big, you know, he was like the football team captain or something.
Yeah. Or they did it to like they burnt it in his flesh to throw the FBI off.
Maybe.
I don't know. yeah, the most lucky things is that, I mean, they also, along with, I mean, just like,
The luckiest thing is that they have nothing. They have no clues. They have no suspects until the two girls turn on each other and dime each other out.
Yeah, they just call Mulder and one of them runs into Scully and they're like, this is the killer. That's how it's resolved.
Yep.
Also, this is one where it has a timer on it. So it would have resolved no matter what after midnight because of the planetary alignment.
Yeah.
So... It's a very common thing in this show is Mulder and Scully are basically just witnesses.
Yes.
It reminds me of the one with the Satanist teachers, where they're saved, their life is saved by the devil.
Yeah.
Who just sort of shows up, saves their lives and says, "All right, I'm getting out of here."
Right. Well, I did what I came here to do.
Yeah. See you never, losers.
I fed a guy to a snake.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. It's so weird how, I mean, in retrospect, what are they going to do against a planetary alignment or Satan, you know?
Right. Like,
but it's one of the biggest revelations I've had watching this show is how little they do to resolve what's happening in each episode.
Right. In most of the episodes, they do nothing.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that before, like Mulder's arrest record is abysmal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
Like, he doesn't close any cases. He doesn't arrest any suspects.
No. If anything, it's like in the negatives. The guy with the black hole shadow, he just gets kidnapped by the shadow government. That feels like the anti-arrest. Like, he causes the guy to disappear.
Yeah.
Because he dimes on him to the shadow government for some reason. Yeah. That was
well, X will help. Don't call him.
Yeah. You know who he works for, right, Mulder?
Right. Yeah, you know who he is.
Good God.
Yeah.
The most Mulder does in this, and I don't think it's a good idea, is they bring the teenagers together.
Yes.
And then he drags them into, he puts one of them in a headlock.
That's got to be in the next section.
Okay. But the point is that he puts them together in a room, and it's like, that's your answer? I guess that's a way to handle this.
Yeah. Also, that's like next section.
Yeah. Okay. Point is that, yeah, they don't do shit. They're pretty damn lucky.
No, they do absolutely nothing.
Yeah. We're just watching this drama unfold on the teens' end, and they just happen to get involved. And that's it. all right, well, we should probably get into the next section, right?
We should absolutely, yep. We should put on our body condoms.
Put on, yes. Strap into your body condoms.
Mm-hmm. Get in a little wading pool. Get some coconut oil in there.
Yeah, a little Purell.
Kind of roll around.
Roll around.
You know, splishy splash a little bit.
Yeah, get out of that. I want you to take a couple steps back, really wind up, run as fast as you can. And insert yourself. Just slide right into Mulder After Dark.
Mulder After Dark.
Mmm.
Mmm.
Oof. Spicy.
So Mulder begins the episode by it's not the very beginning, but he shows up at the murdered kid's funeral to, you know, discuss satanic cults with the detective at, like, normal volume.
Yes, they're in the back of a funeral.
Like, they're just hanging out in the back of the funeral talking about
teenager.
Satanic cults.
Yep. Yeah, just having a completely casual conversation about satanic cults. And they're surprised that the town goes nuts over satanic cults. They
right.
must be like, well, we fucking heard you at the funeral. This is an interesting episode because... You could argue, it's kind of like the one where Mulder is drugged. You can argue that they're not themselves. So how do we look at this episode? And I think that what's interesting is that the planetary alignment changes Mulder differently than it changes everybody else.
It sure does.
Everybody else gets angry and paranoid, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's like the default setting.
Yes.
Mulder becomes a horny child.
Yeah.
He becomes a sex offender in this episode. Yeah.
Also, the detective.
More than he already is.
The detective also becomes horny.
That's true. That's true. It does make people horny. Mulder yeah, but doesn't just quite those know what two. To do with his horniness.
Right. He's not sure how to wrestle with his horniness.
He creeps outside of the detective's house in the middle of the night holding her like, cat.
He's like strangling the cat.
Yeah.
Like, and she's like, what has the cat's head gripped so tightly.
Yeah. And she's like, what are you doing out here? And he's like, I found your cat.
And then he's in his, and I wanted to see if you could help me solve the mystery of the horny beast.
Yes. It's like, oh my God. She should have maced him right there.
Right. And not like with the chemical mace, like with the medieval weapon.
Yes.
Just maced.
He starts smelling the women around him.
He does.
It reminded me of
Scully pulls him aside at one point to like call him out because he's been a real asshole, like undermining her the whole time. Like you said, he turns into a horny child.
Yeah.
So he's real bitchy this whole episode. And she's like, look, I'm not going to stand here and let you keep humiliating me in front of people. Like, I don't understand why you're acting like this. And then he just starts smelling her hair while she's yelling at him. And then she's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's a monster. He reminded me of, like, there's a Star Trek TNG episode where everybody devolves into, like, their ancestors and Worf becomes a beast. And he's like, Worf has that, like, weird sniffing, like, I'm going to mate attitude that Mulder has in this.
Yeah.
He also, like, his insults are weird, too. The part where they find the dog bones. And he's going to put on his gloves, and then Scully wants to, and he goes, no, go ahead. I know how much you like snapping on the latex. It's like, Mulder, is your insult that Scully is into protected sex?
Yeah, I don't understand. Are you, what do you...
Like, I know you're under the spell of space magic, but the insults are still coming from within, you know? The
right.
Space isn't giving you the insults to say. That's a really weird thing to say.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He's like slut-shaming her.
I guess, yeah.
That's a way to interpret that, yeah.
Yeah.
Which says a whole lot of things about Mulder.
It sure does.
Mulder who watches pornography at work.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we always suspected this about Mulder. Like, when he gets drunk by mixing spoonfuls of that frozen orange slush that only existed in the 90s.
He's making, I think you could still buy it.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. The frozen orange juice concentrate, but he is making the most bootleg screwdriver.
Yeah.
Like the saddest, most desperate screwdriver in history.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
Watching Keystone Cops. Now, at this point, we didn't know that Keystone Cops was part of the spell they were putting on. It just appeared that Mulder was earnestly watching Keystone Cops.
Well, they...
getting hammered on convenience store vodka and frozen orange juice concentrate.
Just having to make it a great night of it. Scully's in the other room chain smoking.
Yeah.
Which I think we've talked about this. I always thought Mulder was the ex-smoker. Because, you know, he smoked them clove cigarettes in college. The sunflower seeds thing, I know it's related to his dad, but it always felt like an ex-smoker thing, like a compulsion.
Yeah. Right. Or like a guy who has a speed addiction.
You're right. Yeah. He needs nutrients somehow. and the woman comes in and starts crying about her dog. Mulder.
Her cat.
Mulder goes in for the hug. She's crying.
And starts smelling her hair.
And then he starts smelling her like horny Hulk. And then she gets all sexed up.
Yeah.
And Mulder aborts. He starts panic mashing the phone. He's scared. Like, it really says a lot about Mulder that he can't close the deal. Right.
Does he do this all the time? Does he get is he super horny but is actually terrified of having sex with a woman? Like, what?
I don't know,
man. It's weird because he's clearly into her, and it's like,
it's not Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's grave, so
right?
Like,
maybe it has to be like the cold slab of a tombstone
for
him to close the deal.
I don't know.
It is bizarre. Yeah, how
Mulder,
like,
he's wept in front of many of sex workers in the past,
for sure,
and talked about his sister to them.
Yeah,
yeah, like he definitely has some weird hangups here.
Yeah, it's like, what's the problem?
What's the problem, Mulder?
Yeah, what's the problem?
I mean, the door's wide open. You guys
are
going to
fuck
with
the door.
Yeah,
maybe you want to shut the door. And then Scully fucking kicks that door open.
Yeah, she does.
She's like, pow!
Yeah, she kicks it open like he's getting killed by a vampire.
Right.
And she has a wooden stake in her hand. It's something. It's really a window into Mulder, his sex life, mm-hmm. sort of. I mean, again, it's like space magic is also involved, but like
right.
You gotta,
but it's like the reactions are still coming from within him.
Right. It's a question of what's the space magic and what's him. For example, Scully smoking. I assume that means that she's. It's weird because Mulder says it's weird that I'm drinking because I never drink. So the mm-hmm. implication might be that they're doing things it's opposite day. Scully smoking doesn't mean she's an ex-smoker. It means that she's never smoked.
Maybe.
But she's not smoking like someone who's never smoked.
Right. And also, the shit that Mulder is doing is not out of character for Mulder.
Yes. It feels more like he can't control. It means that Mulder always wanted to sniff women all the time. Which is more on brand
for Mulder. Maybe it's something like it's taking away impulse control.
Yes,
because the sniffing is prompted.
That seems like the that seems like the most logical answer.
Like the sniffing is prompted by that scene in the interrogation room where he's like, "Someone's wearing my favorite perfume,"
which is such an inappropriate thing to say in that moment.
In that moment, absolutely. But like, he has no impulse control. Yeah. No impulse control.
He says, this may not be the time to mention it, but someone is wearing my favorite perfume.
Yep.
And Scully immediately says, can I talk to you in the hallway?
Yeah, can I talk to you outside for a second?
It's so good.
Oh my gosh.
He is a complete creep in this.
Yeah,
because that's the thing is that the other, yes, the detective gets horny from the space magic too. But mm-hmm. Mulder is throughout. He's smelling everything.
Yeah. Well, like he's trying to locate the source of his favorite perfume.
Yeah. The whole episode.
Yeah.
Oh, what a maniac. So Mulder drives drunk.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
After that whole driving exchange that we have where they argue about who's going to drive. It's like, let me drive. And she's like, no. And they get into a fight about like how he always has to drive. It's like, why? Because you're the big macho man. You always got to drive. It's like, no, it's because I'm worried your tiny feet can't reach the pedal. But like the more obvious thing is that it's like you're drinking half a handle of vodka.
Yeah,
like, you can't drive. You shouldn't drive right now.
Again, he says he doesn't drink, so he is wasted. He has to.
We've seen him drink before, but it is rare.
Yeah, so I mean, he doesn't have a tolerance. He's
right.
He drunk drives to the astrologist, who also should just be like, "Are you drunk right now?"
I smell vodka and orange juice.
Yeah, are you sure you're an agent? He gets some desperate advice from her, which turns out to be the fucking truth.
This what I thought was funny was how frustrated Mulder was with her explanations, and I'm like. Like, I wrote down the note, Mulder doesn't know about astrology?
Yeah.
Like, it seems like a thing he would be really into reading about.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like, cosmic forces? That's extremely your shit, Mulder.
I don't know, because I think astrology, because he doesn't like spiritualism, and astrology probably borders on it to him.
Maybe.
Like
I think the implication of astrology is more like forces at work, right?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I just mean culturally, but like... Yeah. He also knows how to read tea leaves, as we learned.
Exactly. See, that's what I was saying.
Like, yeah. So, yeah, you're right, is that it does seem something...
Probably, I'm sure he knows his way around a tarot deck.
Yeah, he'd want that in his arsenal.
Yeah.
Like, even whether or not he believes in it, he would want to know about it.
Right. And he's so frustrated with her. He's like, okay, what are you talking... Like, he's, like, so impatient
right.
with all the astrology... that impenetrable vocabulary of astrology.
Right. The astrologist was the most relatable character to me, because he shows up drunk and he's like, tell me about space, and she's just like, give me your credit card. Like, yeah. I love that everything she did, she was like, are you paying me for this? No?
Right.
All right, get out.
And he's like, I'm a federal agent. And she's like, yeah, okay, you still got to pay me. Like, this isn't an interrogation, so I'm not telling you about astrology without you paying for it.
We've talked about this in the past, is that Mulder, because he's a federal agent, has authority that he shouldn't have.
Right.
So I appreciate it when someone isn't, like, scared by that.
Right.
Because he barges into people's house all the time.
Yeah.
Where people assuming, well, he's an FBI agent, he must know what he's doing.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was just dealing with a drunk person. He's not actually drunk. The smell rubbed off on him.
Right. Yeah. A drunk person threw up on his jacket. That must be it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I can see some of the vomit. Yeah. That must be it.
Yeah. And so we can presume that Mulder is drunk for the rest of this episode, right?
Probably, because it's all the same night.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's by the end of the episode, it's probably wearing off. But he does put a teenager in a headlock.
when they bring them together in the police station and the two girls start having the craft fight and moving all the desks and making everybody's guns go off, like, Mulder's like, get her out of here, and then like all the shit starts going crazy, and then he grabs one of them in like a fucking Ultimate Warrior headlock and is like just dragging her down the hallway. And throws her in, like, I don't know, a fucking solitary cell.
Yeah. And then he throws the other one in.
And then they throw the other one in there. It was like, no, 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 separate them.
Mulder's plan is, I don't want to deal with this anymore. That's his plan.
I think he was hoping they were going to kill each other.
You know, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I don't think he cared. I think he was like, their guns are going off. Keystone Cops is playing. When Mulder's gun goes off, he takes it out of the holster and looks
like,
at
turns it sideways to look at it like it's fucking haunted, and it almost shoots a guy in the face.
Yeah. Like, fuck's sake, Mulder.
Scully points hers up when she takes it out.
The best
place to point it. And she pulls the clip out of her gun.
Mulder doesn't do any of that. Scully, haunted by space magic, still knows basic gun safety.
Yeah.
In this moment.
Yeah.
I mean, Mulder has, I think we can, I don't know if we've ever said this, but Mulder's never taken a gun safety course, right?
No.
Or if he has, no way. He certainly didn't pay attention.
No.
He fixated on something in the room. And like zoned out.
Yeah, he was reading like a Tales from the Crypt comic or something hidden in his textbook.
Yeah, exactly.
I was not paying attention.
Mulder has lost so many guns, as we learn.
He's lost like dozens of guns.
Yeah. It's like squirrels hiding away nuts. Like there's like there's places all over DC and America that are just like little stashes of guns that Mulder has lost.
Yep, and that children have found.
And that children have found, yes, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Just in leaves, random places, in a like tree.
There's probably beaver dams. In a tree. Lashing a beaver dam.
Beavers walking around, holding a gun in its mouth. There's so many loose guns from Mulder.
He's a menace.
He is a menace
to society. he is harmful to the public good.
Yeah. Good God, he's a maniac in this.
Yeah.
So you saw the horned beast on the chest?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. I didn't see the horned beast.
Well, it's only because nobody ever addresses it, which is insane, but the high school mascot is a...
Right.
Is a demonic goat. Like it looks like a Baphomet. Like it even has a little chin beard.
So I guess in that context, they wouldn't say it's a horny beast. They'd say, oh, it's the mascot.
It's the mascot. Yeah. I like it because it looked like the mascot. Like it looked like a goat head in a circle.
Right. Did you notice in that? I think the scene before it, skipping around a bit, but when they first get there, Mulder keeps like he's a weirdo right from the start. When she's talking to the detective Scully, Mulder moves his head like right over the detective's shoulders from behind the detective and is staring blankly into Scully's eyes as she's explaining the cult stuff. Like Scully thinks it's a hoax. And Mulder, I can't tell if Mulder also thinks that. He keeps explaining Scully's mood. He goes, if you detect a hint of impatience in my partner's voice, this is why. Like, he does that a couple times.
Yes.
What is the dynamic there?
He's being bitchy.
He's being bitchy. All right.
Like, he's relating accurate information. Like, what he's talking about is all the satanic panic stuff from the 70s and 80s.
Right.
Where everybody thought, like, oh, they're sacrificing babies. And, like, there was absolutely none of that ever happened.
So he never thinks it's a...
I don't know if he thinks it or not.
We haven't talked about this yet, is what is Mulder's evolution of his belief in this episode of what's going on?
I don't know. It's impossible to tell what he actually thinks is happening.
Yeah.
I mean, he seems to think there is something supernatural going on because the casket bursts into flames. Oh, we got to talk about that. I can't believe we haven't talked about that yet. this belongs firmly in Mulder After Dark, Scully After Dark, and the detective After Dark, because the casket completely bursts into flames, like is engulfed instantly, and they just stand there in the back of the funeral home and watch it.
Nobody gets a fire extinguisher.
Yeah, they must. There's chemicals here. They must have fire extinguishers. Like. Yeah. They just stand there and watch the casket burn while everybody in the funeral freaks out and panics and leaves.
Right, except for just the two in the back. Obvious villains.
Yep.
The two girls stay and they should look at them and be like, oh, I bet it's them.
Also, they're at every single death scene.
Yeah.
They're at every single crime scene. So it's like at the very least. And they told an unbelievable story. Like Scully, was their story about the cult in the woods, what Scully pointed out. It's like, this is just... This is in like every single hysterical report that was filed in, you know, in the 70s and 80s. This is like she says it's actually so common. It's cliche.
Yeah. Why don't
they never bring
them
back in? Well, actually they do bring them back in,
but only
they get
when
the same
confess.
Story. No, they bring them back in and they get the same story. And that's
right. And then that's when Scully says, this is all bullshit. They tell the exact same story and then they just sort of let them go and don't. Is the implication that they're so like horned up and angry by the planet magic that they just forget to investigate?
They forget to be police officers, yeah. Because they certainly forget to do anything about the angry mob.
Yeah, or the fire. They spend everything just like, they're like the cool kids in the back of the room. Like the part where the detective walks away and Mulder's like, you don't suppose she's a virgin, do you?
She's a virgin. Get the fuck, go wait in the car, Mulder. Yeah, well, go sit in the car.
Scully says, I doubt she's even a blonde. And I'm like, all right, come on, mean kids.
Yeah.
Come on, you guys, not cool.
That must be the planetary stuff, because I was like, god damn.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. Yeah, they're mean.
Yeah.
They're very mean. And they don't, like, I don't know if you could, because we've seen episodes in the past where things have happened and Mulder and Scully just sort of sit there and watch it.
Yes.
I think of Humbug when Blockhead bursts from the grave and they don't, like, arrest him or anything. They just watch it happen.
They just
and
watch
Mulder
it unfold.
And Mulder makes, like, a sarcastic comment. Can't wait for the wake. And it's like, I think that man just committed a crime, Mulder. I'm pretty sure you might want to step in.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just watch Ryan Reynolds just fucking just cook up in his casket.
It's pretty great.
It is pretty great. It's pretty fucking weird. This is a really weird one.
I know, but it's very memorable.
It's extremely memorable. Yeah, I know. I remember it the first time I watched it as a kid. Is that it for Mulder After Dark?
I think so. I don't have anything else, really.
Yeah. The big question... Oh, no, that's what I wanted to say. The Satanism stuff. So, like, he sort of... They see the maybe tattoo on the kid's chest, and Mulder's like, yeah, it does look kind of like a horny beast.
No, well, no. At that point, he says horned.
Horned
beast.
And then he says horny at her door.
Right. He says horny at her door to slide that innuendo in there.
He never corrects himself, too. That was surprising. I thought it was going to be like a, you know, a Freudian slip or something. And he's just like, I hope you can solve the mystery of the horny beast. And then he just leaves it at that. Yeah, he just lets that float.
That's me. I'm the horny beast.
Yeah.
See if you can solve my mystery.
Yeah.
Let's go peg on Arthur Conan Doyle's grave.
Or any grave, really.
Or any grave, really. Any headstone.
Yeah, he probably look for like Arthur names or something. Something where he can kind of squint.
Yeah.
and like pretend. And be like, I'm gonna call you Watson. Let me call you Watson.
Put on this hat.
Put on this hat. Oh shit. Got a pipe.
Yep.
Shit, where was I going with this?
The Satanism.
The Satanist stuff. And then they go to an astrologist to ask about the Satan stuff?
To ask about the symbol that they on it, yeah.
Okay. So what is Mulder thinking at this point?
I don't know.
He doesn't ever think it's Satanist. It really feels like, because there's a lot of episodes where Mulder calls his shot early, mm-hmm. where he's like, this guy is astral projecting. I know it because of dental x-rays. And then he's completely right somehow. In this one, he does seem like he's like, I don't know, let's just ask this astrologist what she thinks.
He never has a theory in this one.
Yeah, it's weird. Well, he does end with, is this, all right, there's a voiceover at the end, and I wrote it down. Is this his report to Skinner? Do we know? Because the voiceover starts with, we are but visitors on this rock.
Oh, it absolutely has to be. Yeah, this is report. This is what Skinner is reading.
So Skinner, the report starts with, we are but visitors on this rock. And Skinner puts down the report, takes off his glasses, rubs his eyes.
Yeah. Immediately puts down the report.
Takes a swig of whiskey.
From the bottle in his desk.
Yeah. Hurtling through space at 66,000 miles an hour. Tethered to a burning sphere by an invisible force in an unfathomable universe.
Puts the report back down. Yeah.
You could technically, if you want to get poetic about it, he could start every report by describing the planet and the universe, I guess.
Yeah, but this one was specifically about cosmic forces.
This, most of us take for granted, while refusing to believe these forces have any more effect on us than a butterfly beating its wings halfway around the world. All right, so he hasn't explained anything that's happened yet. And he finally gets to a hint. He gives Skinner a taste of what happened, or that two girls born on the same date at the same time in the same place might not find themselves the unfortunate focus of similar unseen forces converging like the planets themselves into burning pinpoints of cosmic energy whose absolute gravity would threaten to swallow and consume everything in its path. Or maybe the answer lies even further from our grasp. He ends his report with, or maybe it's something completely different. I don't know.
Or maybe it's not that at all. Who knows?
Poor Skinner.
Signed Fox Mulder.
Read Mulder's live journal every time he's got to figure out what the fuck happened. Why a police station was filled with bullet holes. Why Ryan Reynolds got hung and burnt. It's like, just explain it, Mulder. What is
Mulder,
this?
Just tell me what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, this paragraph that we hear, like half a sentence of it explains a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. what Skinner knows is that this apparently involved two girls born at the same date at the same time. That's all Mulder's given him. This is like, it
so
feels
they decided
like,
to kill a bunch of their classmates. Agent Mulder is already telling me.
Are they just
know,
say
sir.
They? Just
or
say
maybe
they're...
it was part of something even greater. God damn it, Mulder.
Yeah. Just did we arrest them, Mulder? Like, no, it was space that did it.
No,
so
I don't know. I don't know if we arrested them or not. We just got in the car and left.
Yeah. They did, didn't they?
Yep.
They just left at
the
end.
They just left.
That's something. Because, like, they should be arrested, right? Like, they still did they got cosmic powers, but...
I assume... I mean, they're already in the police station, and the detective who is handling the case is there.
just closed that door again and locked it, and was like, all right, we're good here.
We're all set here.
How are they going to charge them?
I don't know. And if they admit to it.
If they admit to it, yeah.
I mean, there's nothing...
There's nothing tying them.
They could have conceivably committed all the murders without powers. The bleacher one is hard.
Yeah.
But the others they could have conceivably done.
Yeah.
Without the use of magic power. Yeah, Ryan Reynolds, the girl with the mirror, the guy with the spring through his chest, you could have stabbed him or pushed him against that.
Yeah, I guess. But they could, if they wanted to, because they could just be like, yeah, check for our prints. We're going to go now.
Yeah.
Like, they could get out of this.
Oh, yeah, if they suddenly decide that they don't, yeah, that they're not going to be mad at each other anymore, then yeah.
Well, let's get into fireable offenses, because I do want to bring that up. That's a thing we've pointed out in a few, where it's that a lot of these killers could very easily get out of this, right?
Yes, right.
They could, like we see it in the Tombs, when Tombs just says, he says, I'm a mutant. And the court is like, oh, yeah, you could go.
Yeah, he thinks I'm a 150-year-old mutant. All right, yeah. That's enough. Like, that's all we need to hear.
Yeah, Cecil, the fire guy, he can go. The moment he heals.
Like, right up until he was like, ha-ha, and set himself on fire. Like, it was like...
yeah. Most of them and these girls could probably just, say, like, not only am I free to go, but this man put me in a headlock. What was that all about?
What the hell was that all about?
Yeah. Any other fireball offenses?
I mean, he drives drunk to an astrologist.
Yeah, that astrologist could 100% report him.
Yeah.
She could say, this FBI agent showed up at my house in the middle of the night while drunk and asked me for info. Like, they don't do anything within business hours.
No, yeah. Even after she pointedly says my business hours are 9 to 5, he comes back late at night to pay and pays her for her astrology knowledge. But still, it is after hours.
Right. And they could ask her, like, well, you helped him after hours. Why? And she'd be like, he showed up drunk and he was armed.
Yeah. He's like, a fucking federal agent. What am I going to say?
Yeah. He really shouldn't be drunk. He has enough gun problems.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's the main one. Mulder driving drunk is
pretty much
a biggie.
Yeah, they don't do really anything else that's flagrant.
No, I would say the funeral, talking at the kid's funeral about cults. Like, you could argue that they kind of started the cult thing.
Well, it's weird that the investigators are at the funeral anyway. We talked about this in other episodes.
Yeah, this isn't a lot of episodes.
Like, why do they do... Like, that's not normal. Like, I would be... I don't necessarily know that, like, if like a loved one of mine was murdered, I don't necessarily know that I would want the detectives to be at the funeral.
No, I don't think anybody would, right?
No.
Talking about cults in the back?
That's inappropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, very inappropriate. Especially when it's a suicide. Like, the mom's there, her kid has supposedly hung himself, and you hear the murmurs of satanic cults, and you turn around to see two FBI agents and a detective. Yeah, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. What are you doing? You gonna help with this fire? Anybody gonna help with this fire?
You put this fire out? What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. But mostly driving drunk. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
All right, let's name the enabler. Let's identify who is the worst influence on Mulder in this episode.
Space?
That's a lot of episodes, I guess, technically, but space is kind of
I don't know.
Enabler.
Like, it's making him be a real anus in this episode.
Yeah.
He's a real anus.
Yeah. He's kind of... does he enable the cult panic, the satanic panic?
He certainly doesn't do anything to downplay it.
Yeah. But Mulder's always the enabler to an extent. I guess I would blame outer space.
Yeah. I'd blame the planetary alignments. Damn you, cosmos.
Look what you did to Mulder.
Look what you did.
You made him look just huffing women. Just huffing random
Jesus
women.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man.
All right. It's time for Crazy Like a Fox, I'd say.
Oof. This is when we assign a numerical rating from 1 to 10 to judge, to grade Mulder's... crazy ass behavior in this episode. One being he sniffs zero women's hair, and 10 being he sniffs multiple women's hair.
He does that.
He does that.
What do you... Okay. We haven't let him off the hook when he was on LSD and he was driving 8 hours to Martha's Vineyard to ask his mom weird questions at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't let him off the hook because LSD doesn't, like, LSD and speed, like, doesn't necessarily make you that brand of maniac.
Yeah.
I would argue that the planetary alignment is the same thing. It's bringing something out that was already there.
Yeah.
Or do we judge this purely on, well, this is how he acted? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if he was influenced by something.
Yeah, I don't think it matters. We're just judging how he behaved in the episode.
Okay. Well, jeez. Like a 7?
I was going to say a 6 or a 7. This yeah. is some... He is out of control.
He really is. He's a horny... He's a horny beast. He's fucking... the sniffing of hair is...
That's like the big one.
Yeah, that's the biggie. Driving drunk too. But sniffing hair, my God, Mulder.
Yeah.
Like, really getting in there. Like, leaning in.
Yeah, really digging his nose in there. Like really, like, not even trying to cut. Like, real protracted sniffs.
Yes. Real serial killer shit.
Right.
From Mulder in this one.
To the point where we're both Scully and the detective say, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. Even, yeah, that's the thing. Even them under their spells are like, hold up.
Yeah, this is creepy. What are you doing?
They literally hunted a killer like this once. The hair guy.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, Mulder just becomes an X-File villain in this.
Yeah, he sure does.
Yeah. Yeah, I say I'm safe to say a 7.
All right, let's call it a 7.
Ooh. Ooh.
Mmm. Delish.
Yeah, absolutely delish.
Oh man. So that's a sode. We did it.
Yeah, we did it. We're trekking along in our X-Files watching.
Yeah, I think we're halfway through this season now. That's something.
Really?
I think so.
That's let me look up. Oh yeah, next episode is Grotesque.
Oh, is it the Gargoyle?
Yeah, that's a pretty fucked up one.
Yeah,
if I remember, Mulder kind of loses his mind in that.
Well, we'll just have to wait until next week to find out.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh shit. Yeah, thanks everybody for listening.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for hanging out and listening to the show.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed this free episode. I hope you're all doing good, hanging in there, all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're interested, you can check out our Patreon, where we have more episodes of the show. This is patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Along with exclusive episodes of this show, we also have Tom and Jeff Watch Batman,
woo!
Which is a Batman show that you should listen to.
Yes.
So check it out. If you can afford it, we would appreciate it. But also take care of yourself.
Yeah. And if not, just, leave us a review.
Yeah. On wherever you listen to this.
Yeah. Wherever you're checking this out.
We love your reviews. We eat them up.
We eat them.
Yeah. We stick them all over our bodies.
Delicious reviews. Yeah.
Yeah. We roll in them. I print them out.
Just roll around in them. Yeah. It's like catnip.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I wiggle back and forth, like, yeah, yeah. Like, not a roll, like a real, yeah. Like, when they get on their backs and they go, yeah, like a worm. I do that.
That's what we do with your reviews.
Yeah. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, it's not for other people to see. No. It's just for me.
Yeah. Feeling very vulnerable telling you about that. Artwork for Fox Mulder's A Maniac is produced by Starlene Hodge. Follow her on Twitter at StarleneX, that's Starlene with an X, or check out her delightful webcomic at rubywhipple.com.